Model Test 2. Part 2. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 1.
Put yourself in my shoes, and what would you do?
If Maggie is my daughter, I will regard her wishes in all matters. You know, she really has a passion on music.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Question 2.
I brought some cheese to make cheeseburgers and some onions for the hot dogs. We'll need some tomato sauce and some potato sauce.
I only have the potato sauce, so I have to go shopping.
Why does the man have to go shopping?
Question 3.
Merry Christmas, Jessica. I'll go to church first and then go to a Christmas party. Would you like to come for this special day?
I'd like to, but I'll have supper with my friend.
What will the woman most probably do?
Question 4.
Hey, big news. Guess what? Sophia went out for dinner last night with David.
Well, I have to say, no surprise. You can see David is a man after her own heart.
What does the man mean?
Question 5.
Honey, is the car all right? We should probably hit the road. It's going to take us 2 hours to get home.
Oh my God. This car is a real lemon. It has broken down 4 times.
What does the man imply?
Question 6.
What is this? A limited edition of record from Michael Jackson? Joey's favorite? Oh, I know. This is the birthday present for Joey. Am I right?
Can you make a little less noise? Don't spill the beans. It's supposed to be a secret.
What does the woman ask the man to do?
Question 7.
Excuse me, I'd like to buy skin cream for my mom.
We just launched a new collection designed specifically for fine lines and wrinkles. Would you like to take a look?
What does the woman intend to do?
Question 8.
Your husband likes watching soccer so much that he's almost like a lover of it.
I can't understand why he is so crazy about soccer. He can't help but watch TV during meals or before bed. When a soccer game comes, he doesn't even eat or sleep.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Excuse me. I'd like to borrow several books, but I don't know how to find them in the computer index.
May I know the titles of the books?
Yes. The Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner and The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway.
Just a second. I'll see if I can find them for you. The Sound and the Fury is on loan. It's due back in about 1 week. I can reserve it for you if you really want it seriously.
You mean to say that when it's returned, I shall have the privilege to have it first?
That's right.
Do you need my address or phone number?
You just put your name and address on the front of this card and the name of that book on the back. We'll drop the book in the mailbox and post it to you when it comes in.
That's a good idea. And what about The Old Man and the Sea?
I am so sorry. It is on reserve now.
So I can't take it out of the library?
No, you can't.
Can I borrow a novel called Babbitt by Sinclair Lewis?
Yes, you can. But don't forget to return it by the due date. It is due 1 month from today.
What if I'm not finished with it in a month?
You can come in and renew it unless someone else has reserved it.
What if I fail to come and renew it?
Then you'll have to pay fines.
Thank you very much for your help.
Questions 9 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 9.
Why can't the man borrow The Sound and the Fury?
Question 10.
Why does the woman ask the man to write down his name and address?
Question 11.
What do we learn about the old man and the sea?
Conversation 2.
The graduation is coming. I have to find a job, but I really don't know how to start. What is your suggestion?
Do you have the feeling that there are lots of jobs out here, but it seems you can't find one?
How do you know?
I felt the same when I hunted for a job before. The first thing you should do is to know what you're good at and put it into words.
What do you mean?
Actually, many of us are not naturally proficient at talking or writing about ourselves, so you have to brush up on the techniques. But you do look objectively at yourself.
It seems kind of difficult for us graduates without working experience to find a job.
Yeah, many companies don't like spending time developing green hands. They all intend to like those who are practiced.
I don't think it is the only reason. You see, there are so many college graduates every year that the competition is really fierce.
Yes, but many of us don't want to do the jobs with low salaries but heavy work.
You may get reason. I have expressed to the HR of many companies that I don't care too much about the salary and workload, but I don't understand why I failed in the interview.
My opinion is that maybe you have to improve your professional skill.
Certainly, a man with many different skills is generally appreciated.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 12.
What are the two speakers mainly talking about?
Question 13.
What is the first thing needed to do when hunting for a job, according to the woman?
Question 14.
Why is it difficult for graduates to find a job?
Question 15.
Why does the man fail in the interview in the woman's opinion? Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Watching movies is a good way to improve your listening. I would stress the usefulness of repetition. So watch a DVD of an English language film with Chinese subtitles. Then, a week or so later, watch the film again with the subtitles covered up. This time, you will know broadly what the characters are trying to say, which will help your brain link the English words with their meanings. Of course, you can pause and rewind the film if there are certain bits that really mystify you. The third step would be to find a way to listen to the soundtrack of the film without watching it. You should know the scenes and the story well by now. So, by removing the pictures, your brain will really focus on the language spoken. Before you do any of this, think carefully about which kind of film you want to use to practice your listening. If you want to learn American English, be sure to watch a film set in the USA. If you choose a really well-regarded film, you will probably be able to buy the screenplay of the film, which will be very useful to you. Lastly, choose a film that you are not going to get tired of if you watch it 3 times. Generally speaking, don't expect too much when it comes to listening. Even native speakers miss some things when they watch movies. You should not expect to ever understand everything 100%.
Questions 16 to 19
are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 16.
What can people do while confused with certain fragments in a movie?
Question 17.
What is the third step to improve listening by watching a movie?
Question 18.
What should people do before using movies to improve listening?
Question 19.
What do we learn about the native speakers watching movies? Passage 2. Would you believe that the first outstanding deaf teacher in America was a Frenchman? His name was Laurent Clerc, who became a friend of Thomas Hopkins, and together they founded America's first school for the deaf. When he was 1 year old, Clerc fell into a fire, losing both his hearing and his sense of smell. At 12 years old, Clerc entered the Royal Institution for the Deaf in Paris, where he excelled in his studies. After he graduated, the school asked him to stay on as an assistant teacher. Meanwhile, in America, Thomas Hopkins was studying to be a minister. He was very concerned about the lack of educational opportunities for the deaf. Therefore, in 1815, Hopkins sailed to London, England, to seek ideas on how to teach deaf people. There, he met a French educator of the deaf, who invited him to go to Paris to spend 3 months learning at the Royal Institution for the Deaf, the school where Clerc was teaching. Hopkins accepted the offer. When the time came for Hopkins to return, he asked Clerc to come with him. Clerc accepted on one condition, that he would stay in America only a short time. The voyage across the Atlantic Ocean took 52 days. However, they put the time to good use. Clerc studied English and Hopkins studied sign language. They discussed the school for the deaf, which they planned to open. On the long trip, they had many conversations about education and deafness. The year after they arrived, they founded a school for the deaf in Hartford, Connecticut.
Questions 20 to 22
are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 20.
What did Clerc do at the age of 12?
Question 21.
Why did Hopkins go to London in 1815?
Question 22.
What did Clerc and Hopkins do during the journey to America? Passage 3. It turns out giving thanks is good for your health. A growing body of research suggests that maintaining an attitude of gratitude can improve emotional and physical well-being. Adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not, according to studies conducted over the past decade. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, and greedy. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. Now, researchers are finding that gratitude brings similar benefits in children and teenagers. Kids who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, families, and schools than those who don't, studies show. For older children and adults, one simple way to cultivate gratitude is to keep a journal and regularly record whatever you are grateful for that day. Be specific, listing my friends, my school, my dog, day after day means that gratitude fatigue has set in, Dr. Fraw says. Writing, my dog licked my face when I was sad, keeps it fresher. The real benefit comes in changing how you experience the world. Look for things to be grateful for, and you'll start seeing them everywhere.
Questions 23 to 25
are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 23.
What do we learn about adults who have attitudes of gratitude?
Question 24.
What is the simple way for older children and adults to develop gratefulness?
Question 25.
What is the real benefit of gratitude journaling?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Old friends, they finish your sentences. They remember the cat that ran away when you were 12, and they tell you the truth when you've had a bad haircut. But mostly, they are always there for you, whether it's in person or via late-night phone calls, through good times and bad times. But as the years pass, it becomes increasingly difficult to see each other and to make new memories. Fortunately, my high school girlfriends and I swore long ago not to let this happen. A few months ago, we met up for a three-day weekend in the American Southwest. We grew up together in Maine and have said for years that we should have an annual event. Yet it's often postponed or canceled due to schedule conflicts. Not this year. Four of us. Two from San Francisco, one from Boston, one from Seattle, boarded planes bound for Santa Fe, the capital of the New Mexico, where one of the gang lives an agreeable life and works for an art gallery. 2 years ago, she moved there, escaped rather, from the film industry in New York City, where she led a life that felt too fast, too unfulfilling. The artist in her longed for lively landscapes and starry moonlit skies. She wanted to drive a truck on dusty roads, a trusty dog at her side riding shotgun. She got all that. She is happy. We are no longer girls longing to be adults, no longer post-college grads. Yes, we are different, but we are also the same. The years of our youth say so.
Now the passage will be read again. Old friends, they finish your sentences. They remember the cat that ran away when you were 12, and they tell you the truth when you've had a bad haircut. But mostly, they are always there for you, whether it's in person or via late-night phone calls, through good times and bad times. But as the years pass, it becomes increasingly difficult to see each other and to make new memories. Fortunately, my high school girlfriends and I swore long ago not to let this happen. A few months ago, we met up for a 3-day weekend in the American Southwest. We grew up together in Maine and have said for years that we should have an annual event, yet it's often postponed or canceled due to schedule conflicts. Not this year. 4 of us, 2 from San Francisco, 1 from Boston, 1 from Seattle, boarded planes bound for Santa Fe, the capital of the New Mexico, where one of the gang lives an agreeable life and works for an art gallery. 2 years ago, she moved there, escaped rather, from the film industry in New York City, where she led a life that felt too fast, too unfulfilling. The artist in her longed for lively landscapes and starry moonlit skies. She wanted to drive a truck on dusty roads, a trusty dog at her side, riding shotgun. She got all that. She is happy. We were no longer girls longing to be adults, no longer post-college grads. Yes, we are different, but we are also the same. The years of our youth say so. Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Old friends, they finish your sentences. They remember the cat that ran away when you were 12, and they tell you the truth when you've had a bad haircut. But mostly, they are always there for you, whether it's in person or via late-night phone calls, through good times and bad times. But as the years pass, it becomes increasingly difficult to see each other and to make new memories. Fortunately, my high school girlfriends and I swore long ago not to let this happen. A few months ago, we met up for a 3-day weekend in the American Southwest. We grew up together in Maine and have said for years that we should have an annual event. Yet it's often postponed or canceled due to schedule conflicts. Not this year. 4 of us, 2 from San Francisco, 1 from Boston, 1 from Seattle, boarded planes bound for Santa Fe, the capital of the New Mexico, where one of the gang lives an agreeable life and works for an art gallery. 2 years ago, she moved there, escaped rather, from the film industry in New York City, where she led a life that felt too fast, too unfulfilling. The artist in her longed for lively landscapes and starry moonlit skies. She wanted to drive a truck on dusty roads, a trusty dog at her side, riding shotgun. She got all that. She is happy. We are no longer girls longing to be adults, no longer post-college grads. Yes, we are different, but we are also the same. The years of our youth say so.
This is the end of listening comprehension.